I want to, the Lord led us for a little bit, do something I don't do very much, and that's just give you a message that's, I believe there's a problem today that's destroying our church. I believe it's destroying this church. And I believe it's destroying Brother Wesley's church. Brother Calvin's church. Brother Coley's church. And so I want to just deal with that for a few minutes. As long as you get the message across, if I don't get in a big way of preaching, we'll just mind the Lord. I want to talk about this thing of forgiveness and how to deal with it. Because I believe there's some confusion about it. And we have this idea today that, and even the world thinks that Christians are just supposed to forgive everybody for everything. And see, the devil is corrupting that doctrine. There has to be a balance in forgiveness. And I want to just look at that for a few minutes this morning. And Satan does what he does so well. Every doctrine has a counterfeit. Everything that God does, Satan counterfeits. But I think, first of all, many folks don't know what it is to forgive, and some don't know how to accept forgiveness. And it's got to work. There's got to be a balance. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, let's read some scripture. And I want to show you something, say a few things, show you something that I've seen, I haven't seen before. And maybe it'll be a help to you. In Luke chapter 17, and look with me please at verse number 1. Bible says, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come." In other words, if you live very long in this life and breathe, you're going to be offended. You're going to offend somebody. You don't have to go very far in the church today or say very much to offend someone. Amen. Offenses will come. He said, but whoa, boy, you're in trouble with God when he starts talking woes. Amen. He's past warning. Now he's getting ready to pass judgment. He says, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Then he says, take heed to yourselves. And then he shows us how to react to offenses. He says, if thy brother trespass against thee, forgive him. Is that what it says? Not what it says. Look at your Bible. But that's what we do. Amen. Now, let me say something before I go any further. I'm certain that God put a mechanism in you when you got born again to forgive. You are to forgive. Amen. It don't matter what they did. There's God when he saved you, put something in your soul to automatically forgive people. And your forgiveness is contingent on your love. Amen. But watch what he says here. He says, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Preacher, I know what dispensation I'm in. We're just going to look at this practically and get some help. Amen? And if you trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You say, why, preacher? Because you have to forgive. You're a child of God. Amen. I don't understand this crowd that refuses to forgive others. Amen. You don't get far in this life and in church life if you can't learn to forgive others. Amen. And the Bible says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Increase our faith so we will know how to respond biblically to offenses. That's what they're saying. You see, forgiveness is not an elective course. Amen? It's required. No limitations on how much we forgive. It's a choice that's enabled to us by Jesus Christ. Amen? And you're to always, always, always choose to forgive. It's just the best road. Amen? But for every doctrine that the Bible gives us, Satan has that counterfeit. Amen? And Satan's counterfeit, listen to me, Satan's counterfeit for forgiveness today is something called indulgence. And what we do is we don't, see, we're supposed to forgive. We have to forgive because we're saints of God. And so that's why the world has taken advantage over the church and over children of God. And I look around and I see in our churches, and we got bitterness, and we got people sitting on this side that can't talk to people on this side, and you got all that's been there for months and even years, and it springs up bitterness inside of you. But what happens is that bitterness becomes spite. And before long, that spite says, I'll get you back. I'll fix you. I'll show you. I'll straighten you out. And they let it go and they forget about it for a while. And after a while, something will happen and it'll strike. And they'll be reminded they're supposed to hate them. Amen. And so that's what they'll do. That hatred, that bitterness will come all back up at one time again, and you'll be looking for ways that you can fix them. Amen? But there's a balance to forgiveness. Amen? I don't know about you, but I thought to myself, if people knew, I'm talking about Christians now, but Jimbo, if Christians really knew how bad that hurts that person. See, they don't understand what it's done to them. If they really knew how bad that other Christian was hurt by what they've done or their remarks or something they've said, I really believe if they're Christians, they wouldn't have done it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not so. But I can't help but believe, I'd like to give them the benefit of a doubt to know that if I really knew how bad and how much damage and how much trouble I've caused their life, I'd have never done it. But we don't think about that. You know what happens when somebody gets mad? The first thing they do is take the Bible and set it aside and do what they're going to do and then look for a verse to fix it. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. You see, forgiveness is designed, the purpose of it is to give you liberty. It's not to put you in bondage. Amen. And can I just say, a chip on the shoulder is the heaviest weight I can think of. There's nothing greater in the world than a chip on somebody's shoulder. And they'll carry it around and they'll stay puffed up, mad, and that bitterness becomes spite. Before you know it, they're looking for ways to get you back. I don't know about you, but that ain't supposed to be in a Christian life. There's something wrong when you harbor so much hatred and so much bitterness and so much malice that you just got to get them back and you'll fix them, boy. You'll show them, amen. And you're making a fool out of yourself and a mockery out of the things of God. Come on, everybody all right? Just trying to help you, amen. I want to show you something in the Word of God. It's not going to be very long. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I seen this, man. I'm embarrassed to even really tell you about it. I mean, it's just, I was amazed. I had to repent. I had to get right with God about some things. This not only works with man, but it works with man to God. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Notice what he says. Look at Matthew chapter number 18. And by the way, let me say something to you. God is waiting. God has mercy for you. Amen. God wants to pour mercy out on you. God wants to give you that mercy. God wants to apply the grace. God would rather give mercy than judgment. Amen. God's not like us. We want to shoot him and be done with it. Kill that sucker. He ain't going to treat me that way. Who does he think he is? Who do you think you are? Amen. In Matthew chapter number 18, I want you to look. Let me read a couple verses here. Verse 15. Watch what he said. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Watch this now. This is where we mess up. Go and tell him in Facebook. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You don't go call Sister McGillicuddy. You don't go call Brother Tinkling Breath. You go to the fellow or the sister that has offended you and tell them about it. You say, priest, nobody does it. Nobody. You know what we do? Secret forgiveness. And we don't forgive. And listen, whoever told you forgive and forget lied to you. That ain't Bible. God didn't put it in you. There's no mechanism in here to forget things. You've got a mind to remember. Hello? You ain't going to forget nothing. Amen? Forgive, yes, but you ain't never going to forget it. Get over it. But you ain't going to forget it. Hello? He said, between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, watch this, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And you can't get him to work with you, you can't get him to talk about it. Go get a witness. At the most two, and come back and confront the sucker and get it straightened out. And then if he won't, go on, he says, take it before the church. Count him as a heathen and a publican. Hello? Amen? But now let's skip down. I want to show you something. I need you to see this. Look at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how all shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times the same God did to Israel. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Watch what he says. Now he's going to help him. He's going to give him illustration. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto certain king which would take account of his servants. Now, before we go any further, let's just get this said. Who's the king? Jesus is king. Amen. Notice what he says. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, watch this, 10,000 talents. I hadn't done a lot of research, but what I have done, I could be wrong. You can correct me later. Don't do it in front of the people. Now I'm going to be offended. I'll have to come to you. Amen. But 10,000 talents is more than a man can make in five lifetimes. That's a lot of money. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Well, that's tough business. Amen.
You see, I'm trying, hey, listen to me. You owe God a debt you can't pay. Your sins have insulted God. You can't pay that. What we want today, instead of forgiveness, what we're looking for is indulgence. Come on, let me help you. That's something the Catholic Church does. If you got enough money, you can pay the priest and he'll turn you his back while you go get drunk. And he might even join you. You can go out and commit incest, but if you got enough money, the church will turn their back and slide it in my hand. That's indulgence. That is not forgiveness and it's not repentance. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. You see what we want. That's why you see these signs on the highway out here that says, so-and-so Baptist Church, we love you, come as you are. What they're saying is, we're not gonna spend time with repentance and forgiveness. We want to love you like you are. We're going to accept you and we're going to indulge your sin. And then at the bottom in fine print it says, we love gay and lesbian couples. They don't love you. That's not love. That's not compassion. That's indulgence. That's putting up with you so they can get your tithe. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. There's no repentance involved in that. Same way we do God. We come to God. We come down to the altar and say, God, forgive me of my sin. And we'll name a sin and go back out and do it again. God, forgive me of my sin. And God forgives us. For God so loved the world, He gave. He showed us how to forgive others. Amen. And we'll use it. Like that old drunk, he comes home at night, about 2 a.m, beats up his wife, throws the child across the room, kicks the dog and kills the cat. Amen. And next morning he wakes up, sees all that he's done, all the dishes broken, and he cries, oh, dear God, I'll never do that again. Please forgive me. I won't let it happen again. And so she takes him back. 2 days later, he goes out, gets drunk, comes in about 2 a.m, beats up his wife, throws the youngin' across the room. Never mind the cat, amen. Kicks the dog. Everything over again. Why? Because she's giving him indulgence. There's no repentance. Listen, can I help you? There's two things that's not repentance. I'm sorry is not repentance. Amen. I'm sorry is all you're doing is revealing your character. What about an apology? Apology comes from the word apologetics, which means to defend my position. In other words, I've offended this brother and he's upset and we can't get along. There's a tension in the church. And so I go to him. I say, brother, I don't know what it is. I just feel like something ain't right between us. I just wish we could get it straightened out. Don't you? Is that right? Is that going to work? That ain't repentance. That ain't fixing it. You know why? When we're offended, we've been so beat down until we're scared to go to them and say, brother, you offended me. Or you hurt some so-and-so. Or you did this. And rebuke them. We won't do that because we don't want to hurt them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We don't know how to forgive. We indulge people. Come as you are. They wouldn't like me to come down there in my Speedos. Amen. We'll just accept you like you are. Well, God won't. What you are ain't good enough. Amen. Well, let's go on. Let's see. He owed him 10,000 talents. Look at verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. Watch this. And I will pay thee all. Right up beside that, right, liar. L-I-A-R, liar. He knows he can't pay that debt. In his best lifetime, he can't pay it. He already knows he can't fix it. You listen to me. You owe God a debt you cannot pay. You can't fix that debt. You can't make that thing work. You can't appease God. The best hope you have is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Amen. Well, wait a minute. Watch this. Watch what he says. But here's how Jesus is. Look at verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him that debt. Isn't that just like Jesus? That's why it's in us to forgive. That's why you don't have a choice today. Brother, you have to forgive people. I'm telling you, if you can get a piece about it inside and they don't ever know it, you can't reach them, maybe they died. You have to forgive them. Amen. My wife, somebody called her on the phone, cussed her out like a sailor. Accused her of this, accused us of that. My wife said, well, sister, I'm sorry. Would you forgive us, please? No! How are we going to watch the judgment of God fall on you? I told my wife, with her own mouth, she condemned herself. You can't tell me you're a child of God. Somebody heartbroken and contrite comes to you, and you will not forgive them. God help you! You need to get saved! Hello? I'm tearing stuff up, brother. Notice what he says. He was moved with compassion. Amen. And forgave him the debt. Verse 28. Watch this now. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's about 100 days' wages. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Watch this. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Thank God that our early forefathers knew what they were doing. We can't have a debtor's prison. Besides, how can you pay a debt out of prison? Amen. So, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. Watch this. Watch this. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now you see that thing? Listen, here's the question. Let me show you something. Can I help you? I want to ask you a question. Everybody all right? Well, I'm hurrying, preacher. Listen, here's the question now. This guy comes and he owes 10,000 talents. And he comes up, he knows he can't pay it. And the Lord knows he can't pay it. The king knows, and he falls down at him, he worships him. He said, Lord, please have patience with me, and I'll pay all, in spite of his lies, in spite of his double crossing. God had compassion on him. Hello? So he got up, went out, happy and free as a jaybird. Went down the street and found his neighbor. Neighbor owed him 100 pence. Pay me what you owe me. He took him by the throat when he said he couldn't do it. And he demanded that the payment be made. I put him in prison, make him pay. Now listen to me. Then the Bible says that the Lord came back, the king came. Somebody went and told him what happened. He came back and found that same servant. Watch this. And gave him to the tormentors until he could pay the debt. Now here's the question, guys. Listen to me. Think about it. Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. Did he forgive him or not? The because he said, I forgive you. Then he said, you're going to pay for it. Hello? Yeah, I had the same problem. Amen? See, listen to me, folks. Get a hold of this. Can I help you? The problem's not forgiveness. Can I get a couple guys? Can y'all help me a minute, brother? Would you come up here, please? Amen? Brother, come here just a minute. Is it all right if I use these guys? All right? Is that all right? Stay right here. Stand right here beside him. Come over here, brother. Now, just for the sake of preaching, you're going to be the Lord. Believe me, just for the sake of preaching. You just turn around here. Just turn right around here. Right here. There you go. All right, now this fella comes to you and puts your Bible down there. We're not going to hurt it. And he owes you 10,000 talents facing just like this. Amen? Now, look here. Here's what I want you to do. And he's asking you to forgive him. He needs forgiveness. He got to hold that right there. He, all right, now stick your hands out just like this. Flat out. Now, here's what I want you to do. You ask him to forgive you. Okay, now, just pour a little water on his hands. No, go on. Don't be scared. There you go. It'll dry, brother. I promise. It'll be all right. Just flatten them hands out. Flatten them out. Pour a little more. There you go. All right, thank you. Now, now watch this. Now, come over here, brother. Now, this is the guy with 10,000 talents. He owed him a debt he couldn't pay. You right? But he asked for forgiveness. And you say, and I told you, this guy took him and put him in the tormentors. Is that right? So the question is, did he really forgive him? Look, listen to me. Watch this now. Look in your King James Bible. Look at verse 27. What does verse 27 say? What? What does it say? He forgave him the debt. Is that the NIV? You think, can I ask you a question? Do you think God meant what he said? All right, now here's a dumb one. Watch this. So did he or didn't he forgive him? All right, now, watch this. Now this guy owes 100 pence. Amen? He don't owe as much, but he still can't pay the debt. So here's what we're going to do. This guy takes us right here. Open up your mouth, son. Swallow it. It's okay. Is that good? Yeah. Amen. That's good, ain't it? You say, what's the difference, preacher? This guy right here didn't bring a vessel of repentance to put it in. He's got nothing to put forgiveness in. This guy's got a vessel of repentance. You might as well keep that. Nobody else is going to drink it. There's your cap. Thank you, brother. You can sit down. You see that thing? See, there's got to be a balance in forgiveness. It's not enough just to forgive. Brother, there's got to be repentance involved. Hello? You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm telling you, Christian. I'm telling you. I don't want to make, don't misunderstand me. You are to always forgive. Listen, he didn't have the right motive. His heart wasn't right. Amen? But forgiveness was still there. Amen? If I'm not mistaken, I read in the Old Testament, God said, I've forgiven you, but that by no means pardons the guilty. Forgiveness there? It's like that little girl. Watch this. I'm trying to help you. It's like the little girl. She left home, 16 years old, ran away, got yoked up with some fella she didn't know, and they got hooked up, and she got pregnant. Later on, about 3 weeks later, she's going to get married, calls her daddy back home, and says, Daddy, I'm calling you and asking you for unconditional forgiveness, and I want you to come to my wedding. Now listen to me, folks. What she is asking for from her father is indulgence. See, we don't know how to treat people when they leave church and they go out and they mess up their life and come back carrying a little baby and love the sinner and hate the sin. That's the way we do it, ain't it?
But see, we don't, there's what we need to do is we need to learn how to handle real forgiveness, amen. And how to treat offenses. And so we say, well, I'm asking you, did he forgive him? The forgiveness, you know what her daddy said when she called? He said, honey, forgiveness has always been here. You've just never brought a vessel to put it in. Hello, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. You understand what the devil's doing? He's messing up our doctrine. And we think forgive and forget it. No, just forgive and put it behind your back and indulge them so they can keep living like they're living. Nothing ever changes, and the church gets worse and worse. And we got people over here that can't talk to people over there. We got this one mad at that one, and that one hates that one. And that bitterness and spite and anger and all those things. And we can't get it right because we don't know how to handle offenses. Amen. I'll get you. I'll pay you back if it's the last thing I do. And it might be. Everybody okay? We get upset because somebody comes in and our daughter comes in carrying that baby and so-and-so didn't speak to her. Why didn't the preacher come love all over it? Well, we'll just leave and go somewhere where we're loved. You'll not get any more love than you get right here in a Bible-believing church. You're not, hey, they don't love you down there where they indulge your sin and let you come as you are and turn their back on it. Amen. That's just like them two men that went to the temple to pray. Remember, one of them was a publican, and he wouldn't even so much as lift up his head but beat his chest and said, Lord, I'm not worthy to be here. Please forgive. Have mercy on me. And the other, listen, he had a vessel of repentance. The other wanted indulgence. I'm not like him. I just come to worship. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen, what happened to Eli's boys? You know what Eli's problem was? Eli was a great man of God. Isn't that right? But he had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And you know what he did? Listen to me. He indulged their sin. He turned his back. Oh, now you boys ought not do that. If you're going to do it at the door. Hello? And God was angered with him because instead of rebuking them, he indulged them, and they kept on until they destroyed themselves, and Israel was beaten and defeated in battle, and the ark was taken. Come on, everybody all right? I feel like I'm losing you. No, if you missed it, you missed it. I'm through preaching. Indulgence, folks, listen, will destroy a church. You can't keep it up. You can't keep on. People think, well, you hate so-and-so because you churched them. I don't hate them. I'm trying to put the fear of God back in them. Trying to make them ashamed of what they've done. So they'll come back and make it right. I have never, Brother Jimbo, in all the years, I've never seen people come back and do it the right way. And so you know what they'll do? We had a lady one time. She came in, a good family, and she left her husband, left the church, shacked up with a man about 6 months. About 6 months went by. She got back with her husband. I guess they got things right. Next thing you know, both of them holding hands, strutting in the church house, comes in, sits down, brother, like nothing's ever happened. Like she hadn't even missed church. Comes in and sits down. Everything's great, hunky-dory. And you know what? Stayed 3 weeks and was gone. Why, preacher? Because she didn't come back right. She didn't make it right. There was no repentance. No brokenness. Hello, everybody okay? And we do it all the time.
And here's what's going to happen. We're becoming, we're no better than the charismatic crowd, than the crowd down the road that says we're nobody's, we're non-denomination. Just come as you are. We'll accept you like you are, and you'll leave just like you came. With no help. We just get up there and preach love, love, love. Da da da, love, love. All you need is love. Come on. Ebony and ivory. Yes, come on. Nah, you got me on a roll now. Satan has a counterfeit for forgiveness. Amen. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Quit spilling forgiveness on the ground. Somebody hurts you in this church, go to them. Listen to me. Look at me. I didn't say put it on Facebook. Go between you and them alone. Close the door and tell them what they've done. Everybody all right? And if they repent, you've won a brother. They make it right. Now, one more thing. Let me show you now, and I'm going to be done. Watch this now. I'm just trying to drive a point home. All right? This brother worked on my car. And I owe him $300. I don't know your money, do I? Okay, come on up here. I owe him $300. Watch this now. Watch. Now I go up to him. I say, brother, man, I tell you, I good to see you. I just feel like there's something between us. I don't know what it is. I can't quite figure it out. I just hope we can be, forget the past and be friends. Is that all right? Did that work? That didn't work, did it? So what are you doing, preacher? I'm asking for indulgence. He knows I owe him money. I know I owe him money. Now, what about this? Brother, listen, I want you to know I'm going to get you that money. Just give me a week, and I'll have your money. And I'm sorry it's been so long. I didn't mean to do that. I promise you I'll take care of it. Do you accept that? It's all right. What if I did this? What if I did this? Brother, listen, I'm going through some tough times. And to be honest with you, I just don't have no money. And I don't know when I'm going to get it. And I may never be able to pay you. And I'm asking you to forgive the debt. Would you forgive it? Did that work? You see, you can do it the right way and make it work even if you can't pay the debt. You can still fix it. Or you can just spend, avoid him, sit on the other side of the church, hope that he never passes by. Maybe we won't meet at Walmart. Is that all right? That's why I started shopping at Kmart, see, because he goes to Walmart.